We are holding on mem of a day's 11 lines from the bottom by the two dots of Alan Nervous. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Alan Nervous that another thing that you say Shakol for, we said is Nervous. We said there are three things that we mentioned vinegar, we mentioned Nervous, and we mentioned locusts. We said actually, Rabbi Yehuda says that if the min klala, you don't say a brach on it. So Rashi had understood that it applies to all three. I said it a little bit wrongly, actually, yesterday. Rabbi Yonah says that maybe it only applies to the chomets and the nervois, which were originally supposed to be one thing and then got damaged. We're going to discuss now what nervois are. This that Rabbi Yehuda says that because the min klali, you don't say brach on it, with govai, you know, okay, the locusts can be a plague, but Rabbi Yonah says that maybe, on the other hand, the fact is they are in the right now when you're eating them, they're in their natural state. They come as locusts, and that's how you eat them. Anyway, the point is halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda anyway. But we're going to focus now on what are nervois. It's obvious what chomet is, vinegar. It's obvious what govai is. We have to discuss nervois. So my nervois, I'm going to ask. Vala nervois, my nervois. What are nervois? Reb Zera and Reb Ila, Reb Zera and Reb Ila argue about it. Chad Amar Bushlei Kamara. One of them says it means fruits that were burnt, it means dates or any other fruits that were burnt by the heat. So Rashi explains, Bushlei means, is from the Russian Bishol, so it means cooking. Kamara means heat. So it means that they were burnt by the heat of the sun. Oh, welcome back. They were burnt by the heat of the sun and dried up. While they're on the tree, apparently. V'chad omer kamri gezita. The other one says it means dates that were blown down off the tree by the wind. And you have a bit of discussion among Rishonim and Achronim. Does it mean they were already ripe and then they were knocked off, or does it mean they were knocked off before they were ripe? Anyway, so those are the two possibilities what nervois are. Okay, so what's it now? Let's look at our Mishnah and see if we can figure out. We said Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kolshu Min Klala Ein Mevarech Alav. We said Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the Tanna Kamma and says whatever is a Min Klala, you don't say Brachan. So again, does it refer to all three of them? Does it maybe refer to Min Klala? Does it refer to vinegar and nervois and govai? Or does it maybe, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe it only refers to the first and last one, but whatever. Apparently to the first and second one. But okay, apparently he is including nervois as well, at least, that it's considered that is considered min klala. So let's figure out. Bishlim l'manda amar bushlei kamara, according to the one who says that it means fruit that was dried up and wilted and then heat and up from the heat the sun while it was on the tree, handed a korale min klala. And we understand that would be why it's quite calling it min klala. It's something that went wrong in the development of the fruit, basically.
The cook, right?
Right, min klala, yeah, of course, obviously. El Amanda Amma Tamri Dizika, but if you say it's dates that were blown off the tree by the wind, my min klala, what's the min klala? Okay, I mean, you know, well, not really, no, because especially if they're already ripe and then they were just knocked off the tree, then there's no klala in them. And even if not, even if they were immature dates and they got knocked off, fine, still, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing as when they remained on the tree and then got burnt up by the sun. It's a natural thing. It's a lesser degree. So, okay, the answer is Ashara. You're right. According to that explanation, Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing about chomets and about vinegar and govai, about vinegar and locusts. He wouldn't be arguing, according to that, about nervois. You're right. According to that way of looking at it, nervois might not be a min klala, and Rabbi Yehuda would agree that they do get a bracha. They get downgraded. Those are two possibilities, that nervois could be one or the other of those.
Either it's
ones that were dried up while they were on the tree by the heat of the sun, or they're ones that were blown off by the wind. But wait, we're not done the discussion yet. Ikadami, another version of the discussion went like this, the other way around. Bishleim alamanda oma bushlei kamara, according to the one who says that it means that they're ones that were dried up by the sun while they're on the tree. Okay, well, something went wrong with them. Then that would explain why the bracha on them gets downgraded to shakol, because something went wrong with them. Bushli means ones that were cooked or whatever, kamara by the heat, we just said. Mm-hmm. So if you say that it's bushli kamara, then that would explain something went wrong in their development, therefore you say on them shakol. But you could ask the other way around. El lamando ama tamri dzika. But if you say, according to the other opinion, that it's ones that were blown off by the wind, what do you mean shakol? Bar creates me by a little bit of it. You could say, hey, they're perfectly normal fruits. They're perfectly normal fruits. They didn't say there's no kilkel in them. They're the ones that are thrown off. Yeah. So, okay, so that's, so again, the first version was we were asking based on Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that they're min klala and ones that were blown off by the wind don't seem to be min klala. The second question we're asking is that, according to the second version, we're asking why would those be downgraded in the first place? Why wouldn't they be like any normal, like any other normal fruits? And you'd say, hey, it's on them. So you're right, the Gemara says, Ela benoivos stoma kol amale pligi debush le kmara. What we have to say is, when the Mishnah just mentions no voice, namely our Mishnah, then you're right. If there's no question, it means bush like tomorrow. It means the ones that were dried, that were heated up and dried up by the sun while they were on the tree. So that explains, that answers both our questions. So Rabbi Yehuda therefore says the min klala, because something unnatural happened to it, not unnatural, but whatever, something unusual happened to it. And the Chachamim would say, fine, it's not enough min klala. Doesn't matter or not, but the fact is it does get downgraded to charcoal. Rather, we would have to say Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Ilo's machlokas about what novos means is actually referring to the word novos tomorrow, which are found in a different Mishnah. You have to remember that, you know, the Gemara is not, you know, the Gemara is not a tape recording of what they did in the Bate Medrash. We know that there was a machlokas between them about novos. We thought it referred to the novos of our Mishnah, which is why Ravina and Ravashi put it in our Gemara over here. But in fact, now the Gemara is saying they're apparently arguing about a different Mishnah. Namely like this, the Tanan. We learned in the first Mishnah of Masechta Jemai, so we know what Jemai is, we know that the time of the beginning and the time of the second Mishnah, in the middle of the time of the second Mishnah, especially they discovered that the Amei Ha'aretz are always careful about Truma, but a significant minority of them are not careful with the rest of the Maestris, and therefore they made the Takana that when you buy fruit from an Amei, when you buy produce from an Amei Ha'aretz, you have to take Maestris and Trumas Maestris and whatever from it and stuff. That's Jemai. Now, the point is, though, that the Mishnah starts
with all these categories.
Well, one second. The point is that the Mishnah is going to mention now that it doesn't include certain fruits, which are very cheap, and therefore we will assume that the Amaretz, is not going to be so careless and so cheap as to not take Maestris from them, because they're anyway low-value fruits, and therefore he has nothing much to lose.
Yeah, we're not saying the Amaretz did it because of unawareness of the deed,
Because of unawareness. Ultimately, it's because they knew that truma is very important. The person says chayiv misa b'zoras, chayiv misa b'dei shemayim for not eating it, etc. For eating it, they knew that tevel with nothing taken out of it is also chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. They thought, being amei ha'aretz, they thought that once you take out truma, then that's enough. The rest of it is kind of optional.
So it's
ignorance, but it's also the fact is the fact is there was also an economic component to it. So the Mishnah there starts listing off akalin shabedmai, the fruits or types of produce that are more lenient when it comes to demai, meaning that if you buy them from an Amaretz, you can assume that he took maizer from them because he has very little to lose by that because they're cheap fruits anyway. Include hashisin. We're going to define what all these are. Hashisin, v'harimin, v'harujodin, v'nois shuach, v'nois shikma, v'gufnin, v'nitzva, v'novos tomorrow. So I'm going to now go through one of them one by one and explain and translate them. But the point is, we see that they're in that list. You have no voice tomorrow. So now, the Gemara is saying, the machlokas between Reb Ila and Reb Zera is what is the definition of no voice tomorrow. So let's describe them. Shisin, were the first one on the list. Shisin, Amar Rav Bachan, Amar Bechanan, Min Te'en. They're a type of date. They're an inferior type of date. What are Rimin? Is candy. They are the candy, which in English is it's fruit from a plant called lotus. They resemble dates a little bit, but they're a cheaper fruit. Ha'uzrodin is tulshi, is a plant that Rashi translates it by a word that comes out in English as hawthorn. It's a type of fruit, it's a type of tree that produces little fruit that resemble apples, but again they're cheap. They are white dates, which is, again, white figs, but there's some inferior kind of figs, not the regular kind that we just had this week for Tu B'Shvat. B'noit Shikma, Amar Rav Bachana, Amar Yechon, and Duvli, they are the fruit of the sycamore tree, which is also, they also resemble figs, but they're also lower quality. Gufnin is Shili Gufni. Gufnin in the Mishnah refers to the late grapes of the season, the ones that we learned a few days ago, that you have grapes that don't mature at the regular time and they maybe never mature fully, and therefore you make vinegar out of them rather than wine. So those are the kind of cheap fruits that an Amaretz would have no problem taking truma and maaser from. Nitzva is parcha. The next one in the Mishnah was Nitzva. Those are the blossoms of the caper bush. We had at the beginning of the Perek, we talked about the flask extensively. We said that you have berries on it. You have husks that you can eat. You have leaves, etc. So Nitzva are the blossoms of that tree, the flask bush. And Novus Tmara, so now comes the Machlokas, Rabbi Elo Rav Zera, Chadama Bush Lake Kmara, Chadama Tamadi Zika. So they're Machlokas. In other words, now we're saying, you're right, it has nothing to do with our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, Novus plain definitely just means ones that were burnt up on the tree by the heat of the sun. But in that Mishnah, when it says Novus Tmara, what is it referring to? So now, let's figure that out. Bishleim Lamanda Oma Bush Lake Kmara. Okay, so now let's see. According to the opinion that says that ones that were dried up on the tree, Hain the Katani, Akalan Shebed Mai, Sfeifan Hu Depater. So what are we saying? The whole point of this list of Kalan Shebed Mai is things which you have a suffix. You don't know whether they are Ma'orit. Took Ma'isu from it. So, and you can't ask him because he's not trustworthy about it. So fine, with these kinds of things, you can assume that he probably did. Implying Hobab Dorsum. Because you're able to, because again, they're cheap fruit.
He has nothing to lose.
So therefore, so since he has nothing to lose, we assume that he would. You have to remember also that most Amir Oris did take Meister. The whole point of Zmai, it wasn't a roiv of Amir Oris that didn't take Meister. It was a miut. It was just a miut hamotri. It was a significant minority. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the Chachamim, when they made the concept of Zmai, they didn't find it necessary to apply it to these kinds of cheap fruits. Because there we can go according to the roiv of Amir Oris that are Ma'aser, because even among the minority that don't, it's more likely that at least among, so that's the thing. What it may be is, in other words, among those who didn't give Meister from their produce, there may have been two different groups. There may have been ones who didn't because they really didn't know that you have to do anything beyond Truma. And then there may be ones who knew it, but they said, but it's an economic burden to have to give away 10 or 20 or whatever it is percent of my crop, and I can't be bothered. And they, but with these kinds of crops, then they wouldn't mind.
That's likely because they all Amiarets. Why should one group be less ignorant than...
Because it's the Amiarets you have. Think of it nowadays. You have many different types of people. Some know more, some know less. No. Some of them know more, some of them know less. Anyway, let's go on. So it's a bishleim lamando of a bush like tomorrow. So again, if we say that it means ones that were dried up on the tree, hind the katanya kalanch and nice fake and hoodie potter, so what are we saying? Only when there's a suffix are you potter. Hava don chayim. Meaning though that if you were to buy these fruits from Nama Aret and you knew for a fact that he hadn't taken mice from it, then you would have to. Okay. Elo lamando of a tamujizika. But if you say that means that nova is tomorrow, means fruit that was blown off the tree. One second. It doesn't matter what he asks. The Amoritz is not Naaman on it anyway. To be a Naaman, he has to accept certain details. It also describes in the Masechta of Maya on there, he has to accept certain, that he has to accept on himself certain dinim, that he's going to be careful with them. A regular Amoritz is not Naaman. But if we say, Elo Landom Atamri Dezika, Vadon, Elo Landom Atamri Dezika, but if you're going to say that it means dates that were blown off the tree by the wind, what do you mean, Vadon Chayav? What do you mean the implication is if you knew for a fact that the Amoritz didn't take Meister from them, you would have to? Why would you need to? Hefkeren in you. They're Hefker. Once they're blown off the tree, a person is Miyayish of them because he's not going to find all the ones that blew off the tree. So the din is Hefker is Potter from Meister. So wouldn't that show that even over there, Novus Tmara has to be the ones that remained on the tree and just got dried up? The answer is not necessarily because Hocha, Mayaskin and Shafon Goren. Not necessarily because the Mishnah might be talking about that somebody actually made a granary out of them. In other words, he actually collected enough of them to make a pile of it that he's then going to use from. And in the same vein, if a poor person has leket or shitko peya, now all those things are potter from mitzvah. But nevertheless, because the Torah was master to him. Nevertheless, though, if the Oni collects enough leket shikho peya to make a gurdon out of it, to make a pile of grain out of it, then it becomes, then hukbul a meiser, then they become established, then becomes a kvirus as far as meiser, midrabanon, because people who see it are going to think that it comes from his own field. They're not going to know that it's something that he collected. So the same thing over here, then even if these fruits are blown off by the wind, and yes, they're Hefker, once you made a gurdon of them, then it makes it look like they're regular dates that you harvested from the trees in the normal way, and therefore you would be chayev and meiser. So therefore, again, if you buy them from the Amoritz, normally you wouldn't have to take meiser from them because we assume that the Amoritz himself will have done so. He will take and he'll have taken miser from the ones that fell from the ones that blew off the tree, because it's anyway something that he can't really sell at that regular prices or whatever. So therefore, he might as well. But on the other hand, if you know for a fact you didn't take miser from it, then indeed you would need to, because you did make a gurgan of it. Okay. Ikadamri, another version of the argument though goes like this: the shleimel mandam atamri dezika. All the time we've been asking on the we've been saying it works out better if you say bush like tomorrow, but now we're going to have one the other way around. That what it said in the Mishnah seems to work out better in this case if you say that in the Mishnah and Dmai it refers to tamir dezika, the ones that were blown off by the wind. If we said that the Mishnah in Dmai about Novus Tamara is referring to dates that were blown off by the wind, Hainu Dehocha Korila Novus Stoma Vahasim Korila Tamara, then we understand why the Mishnah here and in Dmai use different terminology. In our Mishnah, it says Novus Plain. Over there, it says Novus Tamara, because it's talking about two different cases. Our Mishnah is talking about where they were burnt on the tree, and the other one is talking about where they fell off the tree. But if you say that the Mishnah in Dmai is also talking about ones that dried up on the tree, then it should use the same terminology in both. Either it should say Novus Tamara in both Mishnayot or Novus Plain. You might think this is Kasha. We're left with a Kasha.
So we don't know.
I mean, the in Shulchan Aruch it brings only the bush like Kamara, only the one where the fruit dried up on the tree that you would say shakol on it. The other ones, the ones that fell off were, well, actually I think it brings both of them in Shulchan Aruch. I mean, either one of them. I mean, because something went wrong in their development, therefore they get downgraded. Therefore they get downgraded to shakol. But yeah, okay. Again, that's
really, the ones that fell off the trees have nothing wrong. So
well, but again, it also depends when they fell off. We're also talking about, we also have to distinguish whether they fell off while they were, after they were already ripe, maybe, then fine, but not if they fell off before they were fully ripe.
But if they're
not ripe, then again, they get downgraded a bit.
No,
they don't.
You make a bracha on the ones that are not ripe.
You would, but that's the point. You would say shakol. So yeah, in Shulchan Aruch it summarizes anything called davar shenishtana l'kiyuchu, anything that was damaged, that's changed in a way that ruins it, then it loses its special bracha, and you say shakol on it. So examples are, we learned, for example, bread that starts going moldy or a cooked dish or whatever. So yeah, so in a similar vein you have as far as these things.
Hit the floor and just thought, oh,
so
getting rotten.
Yeah, that's probably that. Okay. All right. We said in the Mishnah, Hoyu Lefon of Minin Harbet, Cholor. We said if a person has a lot of different species in front of him, so we had a machloikus, which one you say a bracha on first. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you have among them something from the Shivas Aminim, then you say the bracha on it. And the Chum say you make the bracha on whichever one you want. So now we're going to discuss that, and there is a considerable machlokas rishonim within what we're going to learn now in the Gemara. Machlokas kibuchetei and shavas. The machlokas is when the brachas are the same thing. For example, let's say Rashi says, let's say a person has in front of him olives and and apples, so they're both right. So the question is, he's going to be making a bracha, therefore, only on one of them. Whichever one he makes the bracha on is going to pass through the other one. So then you have the machlokas, which one he should be saying the bracha on. Rabbi Yehuda says a min shiva adif. Rabbi Yehuda says that the one from the shiva aminim, it takes precedence. Therefore, you'd say ha'etz on the olive and pater with it the apple. But Rabbanan tavir min chaviv adif, whereas Rabbanan would say that whichever one you want to eat first is the one that takes precedence. And by the way, we talked about this the other day, and we may as well mention now also, chaviv for this purpose doesn't mean, for example, even if we say chaviv, it doesn't mean, for example, we're not talking about, well, according to either opinion, we're not talking about where it's just there, but he doesn't plan to eat from it. We're not required, according to Rabbi Yehuda, let's say, if he has olives and apples in front of him, and he only wants to eat the apples, Rabbi Yehuda would agree, he's not obligated to first take an olive and make a bracha on it, just in order to honor the Shiva Samin. We're talking about he does, in fact, want to eat both of them. So the question is just which one comes first. If he only wants to eat the apples, then yeah, gizun to hate. You can just make hayis on the apples and have done with it. But anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says min shiva is better, and the chum say min chavin is better. But if the brachos are not the same. So, for example, the Gemara is going to be giving an example shortly of, let's say, a person has radishes and olives in front of him. So radishes being a root, or ha'adama, olives are ha'et. So you're anyway not going to be saying one bracha for them. You're anyway going to be saying two separate brachas. Then everybody would agree that you make the bracha first on one and then on the other. Well, so I want, no, actually, so, no, 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 well, so one second, actually. You actually have a machlokas rishonim on that, which one in that case, well we're actually going to be discussing in the Gemara over here whether there's a possibility, maybe it's Ikar and Tofel, but if they're not Ikar and Tofel, then you actually have a machlokas. Do we say in that case Hadamah should go first? Do we say in that case rather Ha'et should go first because it's the more specific bracha? Or do we say it's okay, Hadamah could also go first because the difference between Hadamah and Ha'et is not that great a difference?
Because if you had Hadamah, then include the...
No, because that's only if you had it in mind. You could. Rashi starts by mentioning over here, it is true, we learned previously that if you said Hadamah on Peiros Ha'et Yud Yotzeh, however, that's only if you did it, that's only B'dieved, if you made a mistake. But not over here. If you made the bracha on the radish, for example, it wouldn't pater the olive because you know full well that the olive is supposed to behave.
Why can't we keep the same standard and go by what he desired, as we said before?
So then fine, in that case. So that's the thing. So one way of looking at it is that in this case, the Tosfos actually mentions over here that ha'et is not necessarily so much more important over Hadama as compared to Hadama versus Shakol, such that we should have to, so Tosfos wins from the Halachas Gerlis, from the Bahag, that her eight should go first. But on the other hand, not necessarily, so Tosfos says not necessarily does it have to be the case. Maybe indeed Hadama in this case could go first. Hadama and her eight are considered basically on a somewhat equal level. So you have two different, so you have two different opinions so far. That's what I'm saying. A lot of what we're going to be learning over here on this Amud, on the next Amud, a lot of what we're going to be learning is subject to Machlokas Rishonim. So let's continue. Okay. Meister, Gemara says, I have a contradiction. The Braisa says, Hoi l'fon of tznon v'zayin. Suppose a person has in front of him radishes and olives. Mevorach ha'tznon v'poter v'zayin. So the Braisa says, then he makes the bracha on the radish, and with it he paters the olives. So that would mean then, you make a bracha on one and then you make a bracha on the other, but the bracha is saying no, the bracha is just saying you make a bracha on the radish and you pass to the olive. The answer is Hoch Meissen Kratz Neun Iker. Okay, but what you're talking about over here is the radish is the main thing. You sat down intending to eat a radish. The problem is that the problem is radishes are very sharp, so therefore you eat the olive in order to smooth it out in your mouth. Yeah. Okay. So then the question is yihachi ema sefer. If so, then what about the sefer of the brayser that says Rabbi Huda omer baruch al zayis shazayis min shiva? Rabbi Huda says in that case you make a bracha on the olive because the olive is from shiva saminim. So what does that mean? Leslie, the Rabbi Yehuda holds Tanan. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree with what we learned later on in the parak of the Stam Mishnah? Kol shu ikar de'imak tefila. Whenever you have a main thing and you have a tefila, a secondary thing, an auxiliary thing with it, mevarach al ikar poter tefila. The general rule is you say the bracha on the ikar and with it you pater the tefila. So over here, the radish is the ikar, the olive is the tefila. Why would Rabbi Yehuda be saying that you make a bracha on the olive first? So you're going to say, okay, listen, Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, he's allowed to argue with that Mishnah. So maybe indeed he doesn't hold of the concept of Iker and Tofel. Can't. Well, Tanya, we learn another Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if the olive is there only because of the radish, and then he makes the bracha on the radish and patters with it the olive. So in other words, we're talking about two different cases. One where he wants to eat both of them equally well, and Rabbi Yehuda then is saying that he has to make a bracha on the olive first, even though it's Ein Berchasein Shabbat. Remember, we said that Ula had said that if it's Ein Berchasein Shabbat, if we're talking two different brachas, then you make a bracha separately on each one, and then you wouldn't have the machloikas, then you wouldn't have Rabbi Yehuda saying that Min Shiva has to come first. Then okay, maybe it would be Ha'et has to come before Hadama. Maybe it would be that Hadama could come before Ha'et. But in other words, Shiva Saminim wouldn't factor in. It's either a question of Ha'et over Hadama, or it's a question of Hadama versus Ha'et. It has nothing to do with Shiva Saminim. And here in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that if you're eating them both independently, then Shiva Saminim comes first. See, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mevorach al, im yesh benen min Shiva, as the Mishnah had said, apparently refers to whether it's the same bracha or two separate brachas. No. So the answer is, lo'olam b'tznoin itra. The answer is no. The brice that we still can stick with what we were saying before, that we're talking about the case where there is an ikker and a tussle over here. The radish is the ikker. He's only eating the olive afterwards because the radish is sharp and he wants to mute the taste of it. The chi pligi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbanan, the milsachriti pligi. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan now actually are arguing about a different case. The chsuri mechsura, because the braise is missing words. The hachi katani, what the braise means to say is as follows. Hoy the fun of snowing the zayis, person has in front of him a radish and an olive. When Vorachal snowing the poacher at the zayis, they make the bracha on the radish and with it he passes the olive. But med varim amurim trap snowing iker. Now, when is that talking about? Only when the radish is the main thing.
That's what the braise
is. This is the part where the braise is missing words, yeah. Avol ain't a snowing iker, but if the radish is not the if, there's no iker and tofel, if you're eating them both equally independently, divra hakum Vorachal zeh, vachozum Vorachal zeh. Then everybody would agree that you make a bracha on one and then on the other. And there's no machlokes in that. Even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that Shiva Saminim don't necessarily have precedence because of that. So again, okay, you'll have the machlokes Rishonim. Does the eight still have to come ahead of Adama or does it matter? But the fact whether it was an olive, which is from Shiva Saminim, or whether it was an apple, let's say, which is not going to factor into it.
That's what they shout. There's no preference.
Right. But because they're two different brachas. But then the braisa would continue, again, the missing part of the braisa. Ushnei minin ba'almo shebuchasein shavas. Now, what about if you have two species that have the same bracha, and one is from Shiva Saminim and one is not? For example, olives and apples. So then, mevorach al ezim and shiyutza. So now you have the Tanakama of the braisa will say you can still make the bracha on whichever one you want, on the chaviv. And Rabbi Yehuda, mevorach al azayis, and Rabbi Yehuda would say that you make the bracha on the olive, shah zayis mimin shiva, because the olive is one of the shiva samim. So there's two different cases. Three different cases. One where you have Hadama and Ha'et, but the Ha'et is tuffle to the Hadama. Namely, you're eating the olive only because the radish is sharp. Then, for sure, you make the bracha on the radish and everything else is covered by it. Case number two is where you have, you're eating olives and radishes independently, but because they're different brachas, then again, there's no order of precedence regarding Shiva Saminim. There might be other factors, Hadama versus Ha'et, but that's a different factor, which the Braisa is not getting into, and that's you have the machlokas between the Bahag and Tosfos on that. And then case number three would be where you have two different kinds of fruit, which are the same bracha. They're both hay, and one is from Shiva Saminim and one is not. Where Rabbi Yehuda is going to say Shiva Saminim, you make the bracha on the Shiva Saminim. So therefore, no contradiction to Ullah. The halacha is, so wait, we're not done the discussion yet, but actually Tosfos discusses over here that the part of the question is, part of their machlokas with the Bahag is, who is the halacha like? Is the halacha indeed like Rabbi Yehuda? Or is it like a chachamim? So do we say that min shiva takes precedence, or do we not? You have a chokas rishonim within that as well. So the bottom line is that these dinim of chaviv become a little bit complicated. So we haven't finished the discussion yet, but briefly, what it says is what the way as the Alter Rebbe summarizes it in Hilchos Birkas Hamanim, which is, by the way, relative to Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe wrote the Shulchan Aruch, and then years later he wrote Seder Birkas Hamanim, and sometimes he changed his mind on certain things. So therefore, whenever we have a disagreement, a contradiction between them, we always go according to Seder Birkas Hamanim because it represents the Alter Rebbe's later opinion. But what he says is basically, if they all have the same bracha. So it depends. If there's no Shiva Saminim among them, then you do the one that's Chaviv. Although with the exception, though, that if the Chaviv is not whole and a different one is whole, then better you should be making them the bracha on the whole one, as we discussed the other day about bread.
Chaviv to you, in other words.
Right. There also, by the way, you have a machlokas rishonim what chaviv means for that purpose. Does it mean the rosh learns that it means the ones that you usually consider chaviv, even if right now it so happens that you want to eat the other one first? And then I'm hold whichever one you want to eat now first. The Alter Rebbe again brings both of them. actually, what the Alter Rebbe brings at the end is that no, in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions. The Alter Rebbe and in Sefer Brit Hanan brings both of them. So that Chaviv can be either one. So Chaviv can be either one. One is where you don't want it. It's not the one you want most right now, but you usually do. Or it's the one that you want right now. If you have both of them, one you want right now, and the other one is Chaviv to you most of the time, then you can do whichever one you want. You can pick the Rosh's or the Rambam's opinion of Chaviv. Anyway, he goes on to say that if they have different brachas, then okay, Ha'etz and Ha'adama go before Shakol, even if Shakol is Chaviv. Ha'etz and Ha'adama, on the other hand, are basically on an equal level. It's better to do Ha'etz first, although you're not required to, because again, you have Machlokas of Tosfos and the Bahag, whether you're required to. And then if you have among them from Shivas Aminim, then if everything there has the same bracha, then you make the bracha on the Shivas Aminim, even if the Shivas Aminim is a half a fruit and the other one's a whole. If one of the other ones is Chaviv, then you can do whichever one you want. If you anyway have to make two different brachas, then you can do whichever one you want first. So you have a lot of details over there. This is how, you know, they say that there were rabbonim when a younger man, when a bacher, a younger man, whatever, would come to them for smicha, they would bring out to them like a fruit plate or whatever, and ask them to determine which one to say the bracha on first, and that way they would have some idea how much the guy knows in learning. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Onward. Pligibar of Ami Rav Yitzchak Nachson. Okay, this that we said, that Ullah has said, that the whole machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is only when it's two things which are the same bracha, but not when it's not when it's two different brachas. So actually, there's machlokas on that between Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak Nachson. Chad Oma machlokas k'shibuchasein Shabbos. One says, like Ullah, that the machlokas is only when it's the same bracha. The Rabbi Yehuda Sava min Shiva Adir for Rabbanan Sava min Chaviv Adir. Where Rabbi Yehuda says that Shiva Saminim have precedence, and Rabbanan say that Chaviv has precedence. But if it's separate brachas, then everybody would agree that you have to make separate brachas anyway, so you can do it in whichever order you want. So that is exactly the same as Ullah, as the way Ullah understood the machlokas. But Chad Omer, the other opinion says that no, the other opinion says that it takes the brisa that was quoted before at face value, doesn't have the whole chsuri mechsura in there, and says that no, they're arguing whether it's the same bracha or whether it's separate brachas. We have at face value, the brisa had said before there that when it's radishes and olives, then Rabbi Huda says you make the bracha on the olive first, on the olive first, he says shivat aminim. So we said, we had, in order to make it work according to Ullah, we said the brisa had to be missing words, but now we're saying, according to Rav Ami or Rav Yitzchak Nachson, whichever opinion, now we don't need that. We can take the bright set face value, even when they're separate brachas. Radishes are Hadama and olives are Ha'et. Nevertheless, Rav Yehuda would still say that you have to do Shivas Aminim first. Well, one second. So again, we discussed that maybe when it's separate brachas, yeah, we said that technically we said you could do whichever one you want first. It is better, other things being equal, to do Ha'et first. Yeah. So Bishleim Lamanda Amar Shabir Chasein Shabbos Machlokas Shaper. Okay, if we say that the Machlokas is when it So the other one says that even when it's separate brachas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim would also have the same machlokas. Okay, so Bishleim Lamanda Amar Shabir Chasein Shabbos Machlokas. According to the first opinion, that the machlokas is only when it's the same bracha shaper, then we understand what their argument is. Given you're only going to be saying one bracha, which one should you be actually holding when you say the bracha? You're supposed to hold the item that you're making the bracha on when you're saying it, which means therefore you're giving it a little more chshivus. So if it's all ha'et, for example, then yeah, we can understand. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, given that you're anyway making only one bracha, then you should be taking the one of Shivas Aminim and making the bracha on it. But if you say the same machlokas applies even when it's separate brachas, not from Shivas Aminim, the Mai Tzligi, then we have to ask what is the argument between them? Then what's the premise of their argument? Either way, you're going to be making two separate brachas. So Rabbi Yemi says, you're right, the machlokas is not which one you're going to say a bracha on and pater the other one. Because you're right, you are going to be saying two separate brachas. But the machlokas is still which one should come first. even when it's separate brachas, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that even when it's separate brachas, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say you have to put shivas aminim first. According to that understanding of the machlokes, the Rabbanan would say that it doesn't matter. We don't consider shivas aminim to have any precedence. In other words, Rashi says basically that Rabbi Yehuda would say even that according to that opinion, we would say it's a kavah chomer, even when it's separate brachas, Rabbi Yehuda would insist you have to make the one on shivas aminim first. How much more so when it's the same bracha and you're not even going to be making a bracha on the other one? So that would be the machlokes.
Is that the same in Eretz Yisrael and it looks
like? Yeah, right? Yeah, there's no difference.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. The Amr of Yosef, the Tamer of Yitzchok, in fact, we find that Rabbi Yitzchok says that we see Minatorah, there is a concept of precedence in brachas, that there's a concept that certain species are considered more important than other ones. The pasuk that lists the shivas aminim, whatever comes earlier in the pasuk comes earlier as far as the bracha. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says that, what the Torah in that pasuk, Eretz Chito is Torah, is telling us the praises of Eretz Yisrael, what a good land it is, that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people, Hashem is bringing you to a good land, Eretz Chito is Torah. The pasuk is listing the produce in order of their importance. So therefore, that means whatever comes earlier in the pasuk is more important. And we see from that, therefore, the concept of precedence in these things, so Rabbi Yehuda can say, according to that opinion, the same thing, that when it comes to even if two different brachas and two different species and two different brachas, nevertheless there should be an order of precedence. There should be something more important and less important, and therefore you're going to make the one bracha and only then the other, namely shivas aminim first. So what's the pasuk? Eretz chito is third of a gefen or chayin of rimin eretz deit shem and adrosh. So we see the pasuk is listing them in order, and it's not just a random order, it's an order of importance. Chita is more important than Sa'ora, which in turn is more important than Geffen, and so on and so forth. So whether it means important. Well, because Sa'ora, it's not always for animals, it can be used by people. Not necessarily, it can also be used by people, and they make bread out of it. Bread comes ahead of wine, as in fact we're going to discuss in the Gemara later. So therefore,
it can't be used for bread.
It can be. Nowadays, it's less common. It's less common nowadays, but it happens. Plus, also, you have other Gemaras that talk about, you have Chameshus Aminim. You have five species that are considered grain and halacha, as we discussed the other day. You also have spelt, oats, and rye, and the Gemara actually discusses in some places that oats and rye are considered varieties, as far as halacha is concerned, they're considered varieties of barley. And rye bread you have nowadays.
Okay, so then there you go.
Okay, so the
but
point...
When you say there, it's oats, rye...
Sa'ora itself would be barley, and then you also have oats and rye are included under that heading, right? Okay, so the point is, in other words, that we see that the pasuk takes trouble to list the fruits, to list the produce in order of importance. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, again, we're going to make a kavah chomer. If we see even among different species, and different brachas for that matter, because wheat and barley is going to be mezonos, and the other ones are all going to be high, and still the pasuk puts some ahead of others, then how much more so when it all has the same brachas? Okay, but that understanding of the pasuk disagrees with Rav Chanan's understanding of it. The Amr Rav Chanan, because Rav Chanan says that this that we're saying, that the pasuk lists the fruits in a certain order, and it's according to the Chshivus, Rav Chanan holds the pasuk is not coming to tell us the praise of Eretz Yisrael, that it has all these delicious fruits. It's coming to tell us the praise of Eretz Yisrael in a ruchniistic way, that all of these fruits are used for mitzvah purposes. The Amr of Chanan, Kala Pasuk Kula, the Shi'urim Nehmar. Rav Chanan says the whole list of things in this pasuk is all to teach us about the various Shi'urim in Torah. We know that for various mitzvahs and for various dinim, we have a minimum Shi'ur of something, as we're now going to discuss. So each one of these fruits is used to, it establishes, defines a certain Shi'ur in Halacha. So therefore, in other words, so it's not a matter of one being more important than the other. You're not going to say that one halacha is more important than the other. So therefore, it comes out, according to that, that the Torah is not teaching us anything about precedence. Namely, let's go through it. He says,
even if it's toward the purpose of shearing, there's still something within an order.
But then it's an order, because, okay, the Torah has to put them in some order. It doesn't mean that there's an importance to one over the other. But wait, we'll get back to that point on other days. Okay, the Amar Abchanan Kala Pasuk Kula the Shiur Nema Chita. Where do we see that wheat is used for a shiur in halacha? The Tanam. We learn in a Mishnah, Hanichnas the Bayis Menuga. If a person goes into a house that has taras, the Kalev Al Ksefav, he has his clothing draped on his shoulders, and he's not actually wearing it. The Sandalov Atad Oisav Yadav, or he has his sandals or his rings in his hand, so he's not actually wearing them. Then he becomes Tomei immediately from having entered this house with taras, and the clothes also become Tomei right away. As opposed to if he's holding them. On the other hand, how you lovish Caleb, but if he's wearing his clothing, with sandala viraglam and his sandals are on his feet, with have oisav vesvoisav and his rings are on his fingers, then there's a different amount. Who tummy miyad? He will become tummy the moment he enters the house. The hain to her in, but his clothes and shoes and whatnot will not become tummy. Ad she yishhe achilas pras, unless he stays there for the time of kedei achilas pras. And how do we define kedei achilas pras? Pras chit in v'loy pras ta'orin. That means the amount of time it takes to eat a pras, which is elsewhere the Gemara talks about that a pras is you have a loaf of bread which is either they have different opinions in the Gemara is the size of 6 or 8 eggs. So a pras is half of that. So either 3 or 4 eggs. So the time it takes to eat 3 or 4 eggs, size of bread, is kedei achilas pras. And that refers specifically to wheat bread, not barley bread, because wheat bread is easier to eat. Mesev, and we're also talking about how fast the person would eat it if he's reclining, so like he's not focused on anything else at the time, so he eats quicker. And he eats it together with some kind of condiment, with some kind of accompaniment, which also makes him eat it faster, because if you just eat plain bread, you don't eat it as quickly. If you have something else to help to put in, to flavor it, then you go down easier. So there we see where wheat is used for a definition of a shiur in halacha. Okay. Sa'ora, the Tanan, where we see that barley is used for a definition in halacha, we learn in a Mishnah, Esen ketza'ora, metame mago hamasa, a piece of human bone, the size of a grain of barley, is metame a person by touching it or by carrying it. Then any metame ba'oil, it's not metame ba'oil, unless you need more of the skeleton or more of the mess or whatever to be metame ba'oil. But we see, there's a barley-sized shear. Next. Gethen, kedei revius yayin lanazir. When we say gethen, the grapes or wine, that refers to the equivalent of a revius of wine for a nazir. Namely like this. We know that a nazir is not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to eat any grape product, which includes anything that comes from the grapevine. So it means not only wine or grapes or raisins, it also means, for example, he can't eat the young branches from the grapevine, which are soft, and people sometimes eat them.
And the seeds?
The seeds, yeah. So now let's say, for example, a person ate, so normally when it comes, as we're going to say on Amud Beis, most of the time when the Torah tells us a person is not allowed to eat something, usually the minimum amount he's chayav for is a kezias. But here we work it a little differently. Here it's a revius. Now if it's wine, then obviously you measure a revius. If it was solid like that, like for example the seeds or the grape skins or whatever, how do you measure a revius of those? So what you do is you put them in a cup of wine. You fill up a cup of wine. You put an equivalent amount of these things in there, and you see how much wine spills out. You have to make that measurement using wine, not water, because wine is thicker than water. So it takes a larger volume of things like this. You know how when you make kiddush, when you pour your wine for kiddush or abdallah, for example, it bellies out a little bit at the top. So water would also do that, but less so, because water has less surface tension than wine does. So therefore, you have to measure using wine and figure out whether you have the volume of a revius, and then you know whether the guy is high malchus or not.
So you take a cup of wine that holds,
let's say, 5 revius. You start putting in, whatever, the revius is approximately 3 ounces, according to whatever I'm buying. So let's say you take a cup that holds, let's say, a pint, 16 ounces, let's say. You start putting into it the grape seeds and peels and whatnot, the equivalent amount that the guy ate, and you see whether a revius or more of wine spills out of the cup. And if so, then you know that he's high malchus. Ke'ena, where do we see that figs are used for shiur and halacha? Pigret geres by tzoras Shabbos. When it comes to carrying food on Shabbos, a person is chayav only if he carries the amount of a dried fig,
which is
the size of a dried fig, right? But that's considered to be the minimum amount. That's considered to have a chashivus as far as helpful Shabbos. Rimon, where do we see a pomegranate? Kedetan, we learn in a Mishnah, kol klei bale batim shiurin v'rimonim. That kalim of balabatim, things that people use privately in their house, the shear for them is if pomegranates will fall out. Namely like this. You have, let's say you have a keli that starts developing a hole. So now, if it belongs to a merchant or something that he's planning to sell, he's right away going to throw it away. He can't do anything with it anyway. But if it belongs to a balabas, he's not necessarily going to throw it out right away. He's going to try to make some use of it. So, okay, it has a small hole. So, okay, I can't use it for liquids, let's say, anymore. Okay, but I'll use it to hold olives, let's say. Or you know, the hole gets bigger and bigger, olives are going to start falling out. Fine, eventually it gets to the point up with pomegranates in it. Once the hole gets so big that even pomegranates are going to fall out, then already he's going to throw it out. So then in that case, so now the keli is not, now the keli is not tame anymore. Eretz Zeis Shemen, the next one in the list we said is a land of olives that produce oil. So Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Chanina, Eretz Shekol Shiureh Tzeitim. It means that Eretz Yisrael is a land where all the shiurim of it involve olives. You have many different shiurim in halacha that involve kezayis. What does it mean? Kol shiureh tzeitim. What do you mean all of its shiurim? We just listed a bunch of others that depend on other factors. Okay, you're right. Ela Eretz Shiroiv Shiureh Tzeitim. You're right. It means that most of them are kezayim. And the fact is, where most of the time, when the Torah tells us, you know, like chalev, dam, pigul, trefus, whatever, usually the shear that a person would have to eat, to be chayev malchus or karis or what have you, is usually a kazai. So there is a shear for those things. So now there is a concept which the Gemara discusses in Yuma and in some other places. A person eats less than the shear, is it osim in atorah? Yeah, machlokas. The halacha is that it is osim in atorah. However, malchus or kares or misir or what have you, a person is not going to get for less than a kazai.
One second, the Torah gives shearing for certain fruits and for others, like chelem, you said. It's not mentioned by the Torah.
The Torah didn't mention specifically, but in general, any time the Torah says that if a person eats something and he's chayav such and such a punishment, then it means eating means a kazai.
Where do we get that from?
Halacha mishmitina, ultimately, the Gemara is going to say. So, yeah. Okay. And the last one, dvash. We said the last of the Shiva Thaminim is dvash, which means dates. It means, what's the shear that involves that? If a person eats on Yom Kippur, he's only chayev kares, only if he ate the size of a large date. So unlike most things, where if it's a kazayis on Yom Kippur, it's a larger amount, the size of a large date. The Gemara explains in Yuma that the reason is because it doesn't actually say in the pasuk in so many words. You're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. It says ta'anu asnaf sheseichem. You should have flipped your souls, and the Chachamim figured out that ultimately, as we're going to say, halacha mishmitina. But the Chachamim sat down and figured out that unless the person eats at least the size of the kasebet, he's still going to feel hungry. So he still has the ta'anu. He still has that afflict in himself.
Okay.
Because we don't, because here we have Kesevet Hagata, the Chachamim figured out that it takes that amount to calm a person's hunger pangs. Okay, so the point is, Rav Hanan says that whole pasuk is teaching us about these shiurim, as we just said. Therefore, it has nothing to do with the importance, with the relative importance of the fruit. Therefore, you don't have a source for saying in the Torah that there should be a difference between one fruit and another as far as which bracha comes first. So what we said before that Rav Yosef or Rav Yitzchak said that we see that there is an order of precedence called a muktim, a pasuk muktim lebracha. So what would they answer to that? They would say, listen, Hani Shurin Behadi Miksivi. The fact is, does it actually say in the pasuk, does it say chita, which is used for bayis hamanuga, and sa'oda, which is used for etzim kasa'oda, whatever? It doesn't say the actual shurim. Elam adjabanam. The whole thing is jirabanam, not really jirabanam. In other places where the Gemara brings this, it says it's actually Hilchasa, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. The Rabbanon over here could be a kind of a looser way of saying the same thing. In other words, when we say Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, that the Chachamim are the ones who taught us the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai until they were written down in the Mishnah and the Gemara. The pasuk is really only an asmachta, meaning, in other words, this that we say that there's a shear for the amount of time a person spends in a bayis menuga before his clothes become tame, and that there's a shear for bone to be matame a person, etc., etc. All those things are halacha mishmitinai. We have the pasuk that helps us remember them. So that's what we mean. In other words, the pasuk is not the actual source of these shiurim. So the actual pasuk itself can be teaching us about the order of precedence of bracha. By definition, actually, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai has no pasuk for it. So later on, the Chachamim found this pasuk and used it as a smach and used it as a support for the Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai.
When we say smach de Ba'alma, we imply L'Moshe Mitzinai?
No, usually a smach de Ba'alma refers to actual drabbanim. Right, but here it's not. Here these things are not drabbanan. These things are daraisa, but they're halacha mishmitinai, but it's a different level. It's a different level of daraisa. But the pasuk is not actually teaching us about the shiurim. Okay, continues the Gemara. Rav Chista and Rav Amnuna have a yasu b'sudasa. Rav Chista and Rav Amnuna were sitting and having a meal. They brought before them dates and pomegranates, and now both of them are from the Shiva Tamini. Now, Tosfos points out it wasn't that they were coming as an accompaniment to the bread, because then they'd be tuple for the bread. So we're talking about they were being brought as something. We're going to be discussing soon in the Gemara about things that are we're going to be talking about soon, things that are during the meal but not because of the meals. We're going to be that's also a bit of a complex topic, which we're going to be getting to soon, about what cases do you say a separate bracha for something with during a meal and what cases do you not. So anyway, so over here the case was that they had to make a separate bracha. So the question is, which one do you make the bracha on, given that both of them are from the Shiva Tamim? Shachor, Rav Hamnuna, brich atamri bereisha. Rav Hamnuna took first from the dates and made a bracha on them.
That was within a meal?
Within a meal. So again, we're talking about it was within a meal, but it wasn't boyim machmas asuder. Tosfos says it wasn't lalach the span of the pasta. It wasn't as an accompaniment to the bread. It was a separate thing. It was a separate.
After they made
So Rav Hamnuna made a bracha on the dates first. He took the dates first and made a bracha on them. So when we say first, we don't mean he made two separate brachas. It's still only one bracha, but he means he made the bracha on the dates. What about, don't you agree with what Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Yitzchok said about the earlier in the pasuk gets the bracha? Rimon is fifth in the list. Dvash, which is dates, is seventh in the list. So you should have made the bracha on the Rimon first. And by the way, Mephoshim point out, it can't be that he did it because of Chaviv, because Rav Chista saw that he took the dates and made a bracha on them and ate a little bit of them to the Yotze, and then he went for the pomegranate.
Didn't you just say that it was for Shirin, the pasuk?
We said Rav Chanan said that, but we said that after all, it's also for the precedence, because after all, the pasuk is only a smachta for the Shirin. The primary purpose of the pasuk is to tell us about the order of precedence. So therefore, so why are you doing the seventh one before the fifth one? Amalei. So Rav Hamnuna answers him because actually it doesn't go strictly according to the order in the pasuk. Zeh sheni la'aretz, zeh hamishi la'aretz. You also have to consider twice in the pasuk it says the word eretz. Eretz chita sa'ur v'gefen etein erimim. Eretz zeh shemen udvash. The eretz resets things. It means, in other words, that when the closer something is to eretz, the more important it is. Now, it still is true that you still have the first eretz and then the second eretz, and whatever goes after the first one is more important than after the second. But it means, in other words, the order is going to alternate a little bit. It's going to be wheat, then olives, because olives is the first one after the second eretz, then barley, then dates, because dates are the second one after the second eretz, and then gefen, ke'ena, and rimon.
So what comes first?
So wheat, well, so, okay, first of all, wheat comes first, and in fact, in Hilchos Birkas HaManan, in these halachas about Chaviv and all these orders of precedence, whatever, that if you have chita and sa'ura, then they come first, even if the fruit is more Chaviv, if that is that you're eating them as mezonos. If it's the case where you're saying hadama or shakol on it, for example, you're eating kasha, let's say, or whatever, then you still go according to Chaviv. Then you still go according to Chaviv, and if not, then you do Ha'etz first. The point is that the order with the fruits is not strictly according to the order in the pasuk. Zayis and Dvash come ahead of Geffen, Te'ena, and Rimon, even though they're later in the pasuk, because they're closer to the word Eretz. So therefore, so that's why I made the bracha on the date. Amalei, so Rav Chista was very impressed. He says, "Man yoyvon nagrid parizala v'nishmeina halavai, that Hashem would give me feet of iron that I could serve you all the time, that I could learn by you, because in other words, I obviously have a lot to learn from you, that you realize that detail." And that's the halacha. That's the halacha, that the order of precedence is not just strictly how they are in the pasuk. It depends which one is closer to the word Eretz. Again, the first one is more important than the second one, because it is first in the pasuk. But in other words, for example, therefore grapes, which are grapes, if you're eating grapes, we're not talking about when you're drinking wine. Wine is something else. But if you're eating grapes and you're eating dates, let's say, then dates come ahead of grapes, because dates are second after Eretz and grapes are third after Eretz. So therefore,
first after Eretz is
wheat and barley. Wheat and barley, and then comes Geffen, which is grapes.
Okay.
So Geffen is third from Aretz, and then Dvash is second from Aretz. It's second from Aretz. And this Tzlach, by the way, points out an interesting thing in this regard. Why Taka did the Torah stick in the Eretz is where it did? Why didn't it just say one long list? And he says, because only, as we said before, that after all, the Pasuk is also a hint about the Shurim, and two of these seven shiurim primarily apply only in Eretz Yisrael. The concept of bais menuga, the one that's associated with wheat, a house with tzaraas, applies only in Eretz Yisrael. The one about kol shiurei kazaisim, it is awesome in Atorah to eat even less than a kazayis of chaylev or what have you, but only when there's a kazayis, the person chay of a korban or malchus or whatever, and that is done only in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the pasuk stuck Eretz in between those before those two, because those are the ones that apply in Eretz Yisrael and not really anywhere else. It's nice. So now we have a discussion on this question of food that comes during the meal and when you make a separate bracha on it or not. If you if they brought a person figs or grapes during the soda, now they're not something which is meant to accompany the bread. It's not that you're eating them together with the bread to give it a flavor. Then there's definitely no question about a separate bracha. But sometimes you have in the middle of the meal, you want to have a sweet taste in your mouth for a little while. So therefore, you want to eat some.
So when they come at the end of the meal, you don't make
a separate. No. So what we're saying is, if you're eating them together with bread, then you definitely don't say a separate bracha on them. But if you're eating them during the meal, but you're eating them in the middle of the meal, you washed for bread, you're having a meal, but in the middle you decide that you have a sour taste in your mouth and you want to sweeten it up with some fruit. Or Tosfos says a little bit differently that you're eating the fruit as dessert. So Rav Huna says, you have to make a bracha before them. They're not patterned by the bread, but you don't make a bracha after them, because when you bench, then it will include them as well. Rav Nachman says the same thing. They need a bracha before and not after. Rav Sheshet says, no, you need a bracha both before and after them, because Rav Sheshet says, she'ein lecha davar she'ton bracha lefonav ve'ein ton bracha la'achrav, ela pas haba b'kisnin bilvad. Because, says Rav Sheshet, the only case where you would have something needs a bracha before it and not after it would be pas haba b'kisnin. Pas haba b'kisnin, you have a few major understandings among the Rishonim what it is. And we're going to talk about it more tomorrow, Bez Hashem, because we're going to have to talk about the details of when you say Mizonis versus when you say Amotzi on it. But briefly, there's several different opinions what pas haba b'kisnin is. Rashi explains over here that kisnin are dried grain, dried toasted grain. They used to eat it as dessert. They used to eat it as dessert after benching. To accompany them, they would bring bread or cake or whatever that was baked with spices. Sometimes Rashi says they would make them in various shapes, like the shape of birds or trees or whatever, but they would accompany the kisnin. Because there's a lot of spices in it, and because there's a lot of spices or nuts or other such things in it, you don't eat very much of it, and therefore it doesn't need an alamichi afterwards. So Rashi says, similar to what we said, we learned a few days ago about bread made out of orez and doichan, we said it's not really important enough to need an alamichi at the end, you just say bone nefashos. So in the same thing over here, this pas haba b'kisnin. So that's one explanation of pas haba b'kisnin. Then you have another explanation, and a number of the Rishonim say that kisnin is more like a kiss, a pocket. So pas haba b'kisnin would be, for example, pie or other things like that are filled with a filling. Hum and tashin is another example that are there's dough on the outside and maybe even dough made with just water, but then it has a filling. So they're not meant, they're not something that you eat as regular bread. They're something that you eat more as a snack.
So the first eating
of pas haba b'kisnin, according to Rashi, is cakes that are served for dessert. The second one is it means things like pies or hum and tashin or things like that. And actually in Shulchan Aruch it makes a bit of a distinction there between what the filling is. Is the filling something that's meant that usually would be part of a meal itself, for example, meat or cheese or things like that, versus where the filling is something like apple pie or whatever, things where it's more that you're eating it in order to taste good rather than as your primary nutrition.
Blintzes
would be another example of that, yeah.
So again,
we have a machloekas that we're showing him what pas haba b'kisnin is, and we haven't even gone through all the opinions yet. Later on, tomorrow, we're going to learn about the Shem that if a person has kizeya soda on them, then you do make hamotzi on them, but we have to figure out what's pas haba b'kisnin for that purpose. So we'll talk more about it tomorrow, about the Shem, but here Rav Sheshes is saying that when you're eating pas haba b'kisnin, then you make a bracha before but not after. But other than that, these grapes and olives that you're not grapes, these grapes or figs that you ate during the meal, Rav Sheshet says you would be making an after bracha on them. Okay, so those are two definitions of passable b'kisnin. Another one is where the dough itself, another one from some of the Rishonim, is where the dough itself was kneaded with juice or milk or what have you, and you have a discussion how much of it is with that, basically enough that you can taste the difference. It doesn't taste like regular bread anymore. So then you have yet another one from the Goinim that passable b'kisnin refers to things like crackers. Which, by the way, so again, you have some of these things, and as we're going to learn tomorrow about Hashem, some of these things, if you kevei stood on them, you have to make hamotzi, and some of them, because of the suffix, you actually have to have a rice. You should only eat them in a meal of bread, precisely for that reason, because you don't know whether you should be saying hamotzi on them or not. But an interesting sidelight on that is the Sfardim learned like that last definition, that pasabar b'kisnin is hard crackers and things like that. Therefore, the rest of the year, they say, when they eat, if they eat masa, they say mizonis on it. Only Pesach do they say hamotzi on it. So again, we have Rav Huna and Rav Nachman saying that the figs or the grapes that you ate during the Suda, you make a before bracha on them, but not an after bracha. You pop to them as benching. And Rav Shesh is saying you make a separate bracha after them. You say separate al ha'et, and then after that you bench for the rest of the meal. Okay. The Gemara says, u'pligadirabchia. Now, this argues with what Rav Chiya says. This that we're saying that you would make a separate bracha before it goes against Rav Chiya. The Amar Rav Chiya, pas pateres komin and Michael, that bread patters all kinds of foods. So anything that you eat during the meal, whether it's potter, the yayin pater komin and mashkim, and wine patters all different kinds of drinks. So according to him, then there's no question of making a before bracha, for any of these things that you're eating during the meal. So Amar Papa. So the Papa says, here's the halacha. Pilchasa. The bottom line halacha is like this. Dvarim aboim matmas asoda b'seich asoda. If you have things that come because of the meal, during the meal, in other words, there's things that are meant to be eaten with bread, ain't tonin bracha lo b'fneim b'lo l'achrem. You don't make a bracha before or after them because you're eating them to accompany the bread. You're eating them as a condiment for the bread, and therefore they're pastured by the bread. They're a truffle.
So that includes what?
So that includes anything. It includes most things that you're eating. It includes many things that you would eat during the meal, and you're eating them together with the bread, because the bread itself, let's say, is dry or tasteless or whatever, and therefore you're eating other things with it. Now, Tosfos has a problem with that explanation of Rashi's, actually, because then in that case, basically just saying what we're going to learn later on about Iker and Tuchel, and then the last mission of our Peretz. So what is your Papa adding to that? In that case, then it's just a plain Iker and Tuchel case. Tosfos explains that Dvorim Aboim Machnas Asoda B'Seich Asoda means things that usually are eaten as one of the courses in the meal. For example, Tosfos says meat, fish, things, all kinds of different stews and things like that. So even if you're not actually eating them right now with bread, but because they're a regular course of the meal, then the bread patters them. This is how we do nowadays. We see that, for example, we have a Shabbos meal, we have a weekday meal if we choose to wash. We don't make a separate bracha on all the things because we're not actually eating them with bread right now. The bracha mostly patters them. Because they're called Dvorim Aboim Machmas Asoda, because they're things that often are eaten with bread, even if right now you don't happen to be doing that.
What about when you make mercy and you have in mind that everything else will come in addition to what you normally use during the meal is potter?
Okay, to a certain extent, what you have in mind, that makes a difference, but not completely. I mean, you know, here we're talking about, again, the bracha hamotzi on bread. Meat or fish or whatever are not hamotzi. So the only reason it's pattering it is based on this, because they are dvorim aboim machmas asoda. Because they're things that come as one of the normal courses in the meal, and it's normal to eat them with bread. In this particular case, you don't happen to be eating them with bread. You ate your kezias or kevesa or whatever, hamaisi, and now you're not eating any more bread, and now you're eating your gekoka fish or whatever. But nevertheless, it's considered dvorim aboim machmas asoda, and it doesn't get a corn to toast, and it doesn't get a separate bracha. Whereas according to Rashi, it should have to, according to Rashi, because it's not topple for the bread. Okay. Then you don't need a bracha before them or after them. The shaloi machmas asuda b'seich asuda. If you have something that's not coming machmas asuda, but it is to accompany the bread, but it is within the suda. So Rashi says that would mean things like firefall or daisa, as we learned the other day, about like porridge or whatever, or cooked vegetables or whatever. So they're not liftun. You're not eating them to accompany the bread, but you are eating them to help fill yourself up. You're already eating them because they're nutritious. You're not eating them so much for the good taste, but rather for the nutrition. So those kinds of things, to'unim bracha lefneihem, ve'ein to'unim bracha l'achareihem, those need a bracha beforehand, those need a bracha and not beforehand, but not because they're not tofel to the bread, but not after them. Again, Tosfos would learn differently that we're talking about things that that we're talking, according to Tosfos, we're talking about things that that they're shaloi machas asudah, they're not part of a normal regular meal. For example, fruit, like we were discussing before, you don't normally eat fruit in the middle of your meal. If you're going to eat fruit, you usually eat it as dessert after the meal. So then, therefore, we make a bracha before, but not after. Well, achar asudah, and if they come after the sudah, to'unim bracha bein lefneihem bein achareihem, then you have to make a bracha both before. So for example, here Rashi says that it means things that usually come after the sudah, namely fruit. So then they would need a before bracha and an after bracha because they're not a tafel at all. And Tosfos has the gusa just la'achar asuda. Tosfos just says la'achar asuda without dvorim aboy makas asuda, meaning Tosfos says a concept which is brought in Shulchan Aruch called la'achar shemoshku yudeim in a pas. After they stopped eating bread, when it came to meals in those days, everybody had their own little tray or something in front of them. They didn't have one big table that everybody eats around. They had separate trays for each person. The way it worked was then between courses, they would actually remove the table. So you'd have, there would be a bread course, and with the bread, you would be eating certain things, just lift on in order to make the bread taste better or whatever, to make it go down better. After that, they would remove that table or tray or whatever and bring another one with the next course. And that is called moshku yedeim min hapas. And it's called they remove their hands, they're finished, they're not eating bread anymore. So that's what Tosfos learns. That's what it means, la'achar asuda. So even though you haven't benched yet, it's not considered that they're pastured by the bread. Therefore, they're going to need a separate before and after bracha. So nowadays, Tosfos goes on to say, and this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, we don't really have that concept of a mosh for yedei min hapas. We keep the bread on the bread is there on the table the whole time until benching, and you can choose to eat bread anytime you want. So therefore, you don't really have this third din where you would need an after bracha, but you have the first two dinim. Some things that you don't make any separate bracha at all, and some where you make a before bracha and not an after bracha. For example, if you're having fruit or whatever in the middle of the meal, which is not a normal course of the meal, or you're having it as dessert, as the case may be. Ice cream, actually, I did see a bit of an interesting discussion about it. Maybe ice cream is considered a drink, and then it would be popped by the wine, but not necessarily.
So what do you say?
So you'd be cautious, you would say shackle on it, yeah. Mind you, by the way, no after bracha, that's what we're saying, because benching is going to pop again. Because again, you haven't benched yet, you haven't moshku yedeim in a pas, you haven't said, I'm not eating bread anymore, so therefore, exactly. Mind you, by the way, since you mentioned ice cream, there you have a matter of ikker and tuffle, and you have the question, is the cone tuffle to the ice cream? Then you have cases, actually, Rav Mahler mentions in his guide, where sometimes you have to make separate brachas for the ice cream and for the cone, because the cone, if it's a sugar cone, you're not eating it just in order to hold the ice cream, you're eating it as something of its own, because it's got a chshivus of its own, so yeah.
Let's ice cream on a plate.
Ice cream on a plate.
So you don't make a shaka because it's shaka. You don't.
So that's an argument that's made that ice cream is basically just frozen liquid, so therefore it should be pastured by the wine. So someone says Charlotte Benzoima, so they asked it. So you have a couple of different opinions of Rishonim and all of this. On top of that, you have the question who the halacha when Rapapa is saying Silchasa, is it again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, is he trying to tell us the halacha is like Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, or is he trying to tell us the halacha is like Rav Sheshet? And where does Rav Chiya's thing fit into that? And again, even if we say it's not like Rav Chiya, the bread doesn't necessarily pastor everything after it, but wine, we do still accept what he says, that wine pastors everything after it. Which is why we make Kiddush, and then we don't afterwards make a bracha on the drink during the meal. There, by the way, also, you have Rishonim who learn that if, for example, you're drinking water during the meal, where you're not drinking it, it's not really boiling machnas soda, you're drinking water because you're thirsty. Otherwise, if you're drinking it as part of the soda, you'd be drinking something else. So they argue you should have to make a bracha on water during the meal. The halacha is not like that, though, and the halacha is that the water is also... Yeah, but if you're drinking other drinks, then it's boiling machnas soda. You're doing it in order to have a better taste in your mouth. As opposed to water, you would be drinking independently because you're thirsty. So there is an argument that Rishonim say, Machzor V'tri brings it, for example, that you should say, that's not Ba'al HaChadara. Okay. Shalorot Ben Zoma. So they ask Ben Zoma in this connection. Why indeed is it that, things that come as part of the meal during the meal don't require a bracha before or after, even if they're not even if they're not necessarily tofel to the bread? So he says because the bracha on the bread passes them, because the bread in that sense is considered like royalty, and therefore it passes everything else that comes after it. So the question is, by that logic, then the wine that you drink during the meal should also be passed by the bread, and you shouldn't be saying a separate bread priagofen on the wine. And the fact is that you do. And so it's shiny yayin, the golden bracha. We're talking about during the week. So Shabbos, since you're making kiddush before the meal, then the wine for kiddush passes any other wine or any other drinks that you drink during the meal. But here we're talking about during the weekdays. You're not obligated to, you don't make kiddush on wine. You're not obligated to drink wine b'chlal. So if you drink wine during the meal, it's not called dvorim aborim machnas asoda, and you would actually make a separate bracha on it. So, and the answer is?
Not after bracha.
Just the before bracha. Right. And the question is, so why is that so? Why is wine not topped by the bread? And the answer is, shiny yayin to go in bracha la'atma. The answer is because wine has a certain importance of its own, that sometimes there are places where you have to make a bracha on wine, even if you didn't particularly want to drink it, but you still have to because of kiddush or havdalah or what have you. So therefore, wine has a certain chashivus of its own, and it can't be topped by the bracha on the bread. That's how it is. So if you drink wine during a weekday meal, then you would actually make a separate bracha, even though you'd washed the bread, you'd still make a bracha on the wine. Shabbos, though, since you're making kiddush beforehand anyway and making bracha on that, then you're not afterwards making a separate bracha on the wine during the meal. And as far as things that come during the meal, then we have these various distinctions between things that are a normal course of the meal versus things that are a dessert or something like that.